That's now officially the introduction.
Yeah, that's replacing the fantastic jingle doom that we have from Joel Magway. Thank you, Joel, for the fantastic disco jingle to the UK Scriptwriters Podcast, because that's what you're listening to right now.
Yes, and it's coming from my spare room.
On a bank holiday Saturday morning.
I know.
Because we're dedicated to our art and craft.
So my name's Tim Clegg. The person that's waffling is Danny Stack.
Hello.
And today we've got another jam-packed UK Scriptwriters Podcast talking about all things writing, whether that's the craft of writing, the business of writing, and all from a UK perspective to keep it local.
Yeah, so we're over a year old now, so if this is your first time listening, thank you for tuning in. We're going to try and keep it tight and keep it moving, so we're going to do a bit of housekeeping first to get stuff out the way, how to contact us and the competition.
Yeah, so first of all, the reason that we say how to contact us is that pretty much now, over the last four or five podcasts, we've really been answering people's questions that have been sent in.
Yeah.
That's what we've enjoyed doing, and we use that to frame the structure of each podcast. So if you've been a long time listener, or it's just the first time, send us in what's on your mind, what's the barriers that you're facing in your writing life, and we'll see if we can overcome those together. The email address is ukscriptwriters@hotmail.com.
It is indeed.
And if you're looking for where to find this podcast on a more regular basis, maybe you've chanced upon it on someone's blog or on Twitter or such.
Stolen their iPhone.
yeah, brilliant. That's the new marketing technique. Then head along to ukscriptwriters.podomatic.com.
Yeah, we're on iTunes, easy.
Or go to iTunes, even easier, to just go to the podcast store on iTunes and search for UK Scriptwriters, and we come up at the top, obviously, because there isn't anyone as awesome. So anyway, you get the idea. Search for us, find us, and share with us. That's the message. We always like to kick off, or more recently, we'd like to kick off with the competition. This is a bit of fun.
Competition time.
Just gets better every time.
I've been practicing.
I think better is the word that I mean. Mm-hmm. And competition winner.
For last month. Is Katie Pierce.
No, Kelly.
Kelly Pierce, even. Who rightly guessed, or looked up, or whatever, the hammy Irish line of dialogue I did from a famous movie was Inception.
Indeed.
Character of Mal, who was a right pain in the bum, that character, wasn't she?
Yeah, that was the idea, I think.
Yeah. So Kelly wins a place on Industrial Scripts Effective Script Reading course, and also a couple of scripts. So Industrial Scripts, who sponsor the show, they offer a place on one of their courses every month, plus a couple of script goodies. So for next month, or for this month's competition, we're doing the same thing. And the prize is a place on Industrial's course, which is script writing for beginners, which isn't to say script writing for newbies. It's like, you know, for new writers who don't know where to begin.
Yeah, it's kind of looking at the process of writing, the ideas
and the business, going through fees, contracts, practical information. So it's a really good course.
Yeah, good course. Check that out if you can. I mean, check it out on the site. Even you might like the sound of it. You don't have to wait to win, of course. You can also get your place by handing over quite a small amount actually of hard earned cash.
Yeah. Well, there's loads of great stuff on Industrial's site. They have great newsletter and interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff, so you can just sign up to their newsletter there. But he's also got a couple of scripts to give away, which is he's got the script books, I think, of Sideways and American Beauty this month.
So if you fancy those two and going on the course for nothing, brilliant. You just got to get yourself to London, where the course is taking place on the 23rd of September.
Yeah, the next one, yeah.
Then enter the competition. We'll put a deadline on of the 15th of September to give a week to sort that out. And we're changing it slightly. We're keeping with the form, but we feel that the Leprechaun movie has been saturated.
Yeah,
the market's saturated.
Usually what I do is put on a hammy Irish bit of accent to do a famous bit of dialogue, but I'm not going to do that this month, because just to freshen it up a bit.
Freshen it up, yeah.
So Tim is going to do a line of dialogue.
Yeah.
But in a Cockney gangster accent.
Kind of thing.
Michael Caine stroke
Bob
Hoskins.
Now, you may notice that I'm not actually from the East End or from London at all.
Yeah, so that doesn't matter.
So that doesn't stop me.
No.
Okay. So what...
What famous bit of... what famous film?
Getting the right. I'm just stretching. Yeah, I'm limbering.
You do
up.
Your method prep there.
Bah, 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 bah. Right.
What famous film is this line of dialogue from that Tim's going to do in a Cockney gangster fashion?
Not very sporting to fire on an unarmed opponent. I thought you were supposed to be good. Aren't you the good man? Come on, show me what you're bloody made of.
Oh, that's Michael Caine kind of just doing...
Sort of thing going
yeah,
on there.
Very, yeah, very loud.
I think that's, again, as yours did, I've vastly improved
the original.
The original.
Yeah.
So another success straight away for the podcast team.
So if you know the answer to that, then email info.
A really good answer being, please never do that again.
Well, the email to enter is info@industrialscripts.co.uk. That's the email to enter the competition. So there you go. Yeah, have fun with that. And right, let's move on to the topic of conversation.
Yeah. It, where's the jingle?
What should we do for this? It's the screenwriting topic.
Right, so the topic is one that we've had lots of messages, whether that is via Facebook, email, Twitter and so on, about this over the past few months, and they've sort of been building up, and we thought, well, we're going to have to address this. It's one that comes up quite often at various festivals, seminars,
it's
workshops.
It's what every new writer wants to know.
Wants to know, or at least have an insight on, which is something along the lines of, how do I get an agent?
How do I get an agent?
Could be phrased in different ways, but you get the idea.
Or, you know, what's involved in getting an agent? Do I need one?
Yeah, all of that wrapped up. We'll do all of that as one.
Catch 22 of, you know, nobody will look at my work.
Yeah.
But an agent won't look at your work either until,
yeah,
you know.
That's right. So let's start with a kind of the ground rules of this to put people that maybe are newer listeners, or maybe we've not really covered this before, Danny. But you yourself do have an agent.
I'm represented, yes.
You're represented by a well-known
United Agents,
agent. Yeah. Very well-known if you don't know the business so well. So that's, you know, a good place to be. I myself don't have, but I've obviously talked to many agents over the time and get on well with them.
Well, you're in a great position, actually, to talk about why you don't need an agent, really.
Yeah, but I don't... it's been misrepresented. My views have been misrepresented over the time, which is perhaps to stir up debate like this.
Yeah.
That I'm sort of presented as the anti-agent
candidate. Which you're not.
Which I'm not at all.
Yeah.
It's just that I don't happen to have one. So,
but you choose not to either.
I choose not to worry about it.
Yeah.
If someone wrote to me tomorrow saying... we like what you do and we'd like to represent you, I'd seriously consider that and probably would go with it. Mm. But what I'm not doing is sitting here worrying about it or letting it impinge on my business, the amount that I'm writing, the amount that I'm trying to of work that I'm doing or any of those other things. I'm carrying on anyway and getting on okay.
Yeah.
So I feel it's not a barrier to where I am at the minute.
No.
Whereas you're more in the mainstream of writing, I would say, so it's more important for you.
It is.
Danny, even if you don't get much work in through your agent, it wouldn't even matter.
Yeah,
because it's a kind of makes you look much more credible.
Mm.
Now that's the issue, of course, why a lot of writers that disagree, if you do disagree, why a lot of writers worry about it, because they feel that they're not a proper writer without one, and they feel also that it's the way to get work. Yeah. I mean, is that what you think is the issue when people are worrying about this?
Yeah, I see it from screenwriting graduates all the time, and anybody who's kind of new to the scene, they just think, I have to get an agent, otherwise I'm nothing in the industry and I won't get any work, and having an agent will get me work. And it's not necessarily true. Having an agent is no guarantee of work whatsoever. And as you prove on a regular basis, Tim, it's just like you just go about doing your own thing, staying focused and proactive in your own way, and that will yield results in terms of getting work. And whether then that attracts the interest of an agent, or you've got something to show when you approach an agent, that's better. Because too many people, I think, approach agents flat, which is like, I've just graduated, I've got two scripts which my tutor said were really good, and I've had lots of positive feedback, will you represent me? Yeah. And the agent is just like, well, no, not really. Well,
I think that's the key to unlocking this discussion, which is to, for anyone, and this is running around in their mind, is to take a step back. We're all writers, we're all about putting ourselves into our character's shoes and thinking about things. You know, put yourself into the shoes of an agent. What are they about? So what they're about, remember, is not about loving your work. They're not about being people that are, you know, failed writers. They're not, they're none of those things. What they're about, they're business people in a way. And obviously they're in an industry that they love, but what they're about is actually, you know, getting scripts out there and taking a cut from a successful commission. So finding a series that's going on and slotting you into it, Danny, for a cut of doing that. So they want, there's time that they've got to put in before they get that slice.
Yeah.
So just picture yourself doing that with, say, 20 writers. You're trying to get work for 20 writers, because if you don't get work for any of them, you're not going to get a cut. Now, what would you do in that kind of situation? You're going to go for the, you'd start with the easiest sells, and you'd work your way up from there, and just like, right, I'll get this person in, they've done a lot, I'll do this. That'd be the safest, the quickest way to get a meeting with that commissioner and so on. So they're under that pressure all the time to you know, bring in good chunk of money in a way, because I mean, there's offices to upkeep, you need a lot of money. You imagine how much money you need flowing around to keep those offices going, keep the post being open, just everything about it. Now think about, you know, if you were that person getting a letter from someone saying, I've just graduated, I've got a couple of scripts. So it's not going to be your top priority to have a look at those, is it? And it's just having that in your mind when you're approaching agents. Exactly. What is the pressures that they're under? And do you slot in? Do you even slot into fulfilling the things that they've got in their mind?
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you it's not a, I don't want to get all businessy about it, but it's not, there's no mutual gain in that. There's no good contract in that, because you've got something you're trying to do and it doesn't fit with what they're trying to do in a business way.
Yeah.
So it might be that this time isn't right for people to approach someone like that on a business level and say, I can provide this for you and it will help you earn money. If you feel that you're not in that time, it's time to back off and actually concentrate on writing more stuff.
Yeah.
Teasing into the industry, creating some news for yourself. Do you agree with all of that, Danny?
Well, yeah, I think most writers, to begin with, approach agents too soon. They're not ready for representation. They're just keen on the idea of representation because it will make them look better, or they might get some work. And it's not necessarily true. You've nothing really about you that will make you of interest to the agent or to the industry. You might have a killer idea or a killer commercial script that could get sold, but the agent will kind of pick that up from your approach letter. Generally, that's not going to happen, though. So you need to be thinking, I need to do more work. I need to maybe make a short film that's going to do well at festivals or win an award or get nominated for a BAFTA. Then an agent will be all over you, basically, because then, you know, they want to represent writers. They don't want to represent people who want to be writers or who want, you know, to a bit of work or whatever. Because the truth is, you will get a lot of work by yourself and from your own contacts. What agents do is they look out for your best interests from a legal point of view, in terms of your contract, and they will negotiate the best deal for you. And for that, they will take 10% usually of your earnings. Plus, they will charge VAT on that 10%. And what they'll do, because agents are reputable and they're good standing in the industry, producers will go to them, or directors, or anybody really, will go to them and say, I need a writer for this. And they will maybe send your scripts to those people, or send your scripts around town to say, this is a great new writer I'm really passionate about. So they'll set up meetings,
mm.
And they'll get to know of opportunities that you might not have heard of or might not have had access to.
Mm.
So that's really good, and it's really good for me. I mean, I think for me, having an agent is vital, but at the same time, there's a lot of work that I get that comes through my own contacts mm. or word of mouth or a recommendation. And what my agent invariably has done for me is set up meetings.
Mm.
She's got me a few bits of work here and there, which has been great. I mean, I love her. I think she's fantastic. But I think we have a good common understanding of each other.
Mm.
It's like I don't send her emails going, what's going on? Have you heard anything from anyone? I'm really short of work.
Yeah.
I send her emails saying, this is what's happening. I'm meeting this person here. Mm. And I'm have you met this person before? Maybe we could double up.
Again, that's going to make her feel better that you're the proactive guy that's busy.
Yeah, he's doing stuff.
You know,
and he's got a new script. Oh, yeah, fantastic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I just come back to that idea. It's just about putting yourself in their shoes and just thinking, what can I offer someone?
Mm.
And that goes with that, but that goes with producers. That goes with anyone that you're talking to. It's almost like you have to take a step back away from what you want to do in life. I just want to sit and write a load of sci-fi scripts to actually, who is it that I can help with their project? Is it, you know, how can I help them move forward? They're going to want to talk to you then, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you're just chasing your agenda, what you want to do, I'm not sure why you think, with all things in life, why would anyone want to get on board with that?
Okay. Well, I mean, I think, let's talk about your situation a bit more, Tim, because I think it's interesting in terms of how you can survive or exist or thrive even
mm.
by not having an agent.
Mm.
And then we could talk about the actual approach that you should do to agents in terms of if when you're ready.
Right, so the number one reason that I think it's not so much a worry for me is the fact that I'm not a TV writer predominantly. So obviously the majority of work in the UK for screenwriters like yourself, like myself, will be in the sort of the TV area. So not having that as a big interest in my writing life,
yeah,
I think kind of means that I haven't got a lot to offer a lot of the agents, because I'd feel a bit embarrassed because they'd be like, well, do you want to go for this? And I'd be like, well, not really then.
Mm.
And that wouldn't be much of a mutually beneficial business we'd have together
mm.
if I was constantly doing that. So that's the main reason. I'm more interested in unusual projects, games, as you know, that I've done before, sort of low budget features. And I love all that kind of world. So there's not so many that, well, agents really don't even tackle the games thing. You were more going in through games recruitment specialists.
Yeah.
Those kind of people.
I got games work from my agent.
You did? Yeah, yeah, that's right. You did though. So you don't need it in that area so yeah. much. And certainly in the low budget film type area, then of course, there's not so much money involved in that. So agents aren't so keen on that. But obviously there's a lot of people talking directly. So the sort of things that I do, I do the same stuff you do, to be fair though. I'm sort of quite tough on my contact strategy. I can make sure that I keep in touch with people. I do go to Cannes. We talked about that in the previous podcast. Won't go over that again here.
Yeah.
Just always looking for different opportunities. I do a lot of corporate work on communication, because obviously
yeah.
you can tell we're interested in communication because we do a podcast. So that comes in from a different route.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things that I'm doing.
Well, this is the thing. You've created a niche of yourself, really, haven't
yeah.
you? Where it's like I can, or you, I say I in terms of you.
Yeah.
You can independently survive and thrive by just getting on with your own stuff. It's like, quote, I'm too busy to have an agent almost. It's like, I'm just doing my own thing and I'm getting on with it. And I'm not relying on anything to do me any favours or whatever.
No, but the point does come, so this is a bit of self-reflection, the point does come where you can't move up much further.
Yeah.
So that might be brewing up sort of soon, where actually the next step up involves working with that more that sector. That's where the personal challenges for myself maybe lie in getting in touch and using their skills
yeah.
to take me up to the next level.
Also, if you, I think if you had a breakthrough with one of your features.
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know.
Then I would need it.
Then
I'd
I think
help.
You could market yourself then as a new writer-director, and the agent will go, right, I can help you there.
But you see, I'd feel comfortable with that conversation because then I would feel like we really got something to talk about.
Mm.
So I guess it just comes back to that idea about what is it that you're wanting the agent to do for you and really being honest about that.
That's the thing.
Yourself, can they deliver what you want to you as a writer on your own in your situation in life? Is there actually anything they can do for you? Because if you really think about it and you feel that there isn't, then you're sort of wasting everyone's time. Why not hold back a bit and keep yourself as a kind of a fresh story when you're more an exciting story?
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? When you've done a couple of things and suddenly like, oh, what, you've had your film on in Edinburgh, I see, and you've done that successful Fringe thing and written that, whatever it is. And you're not represented? Mm. Suddenly you'd be a bit like, oh.
Yeah, even some of Screen International's Stars of Tomorrow have been unrepresented.
Yeah.
And so agents kind of just hover and swoop and stuff.
Yeah, that's right. But of course, it's then, can they, a lot of those fizzle away.
Yeah, exactly. They could be just
in
flash
terms
in the
of
pens.
Pardon, not the people, not their careers, but the relationship with an agent. So you can be kind of like you appear to be the next hot thing.
Mm.
So you get the representation, and then
if you can't
then
deliver,
you're not ready for it really.
Yeah, if you can't
and
deliver
so
it.
Yeah, a year later you kind of dropped quietly, and you know somebody else is brought in to fill your shoes.
I did hear a story once about some hot new writer who wrote a really good Arthurian spec script, you know, something like that.
Right.
And the industry went mad, but you know, it might have sold or something, but he got representation. But then all he could write were those types of stories.
Right.
And he couldn't write anything else.
Right.
And so he dipped away.
I mean, that's a great story to reflect upon, just because it goes to show, if it doesn't matter almost how good you are, let's say he's really excellent at writing that. The point is, there's no market need.
Mm.
So they can't, I'll say something, it sounds harsher than I mean it to be, Danny, right? They can't take that guy and stuff him into an episode of Doctors quickly to earn a few grand. So what are you going to do with him?
Mm.
It's too much work. It's too much effort. Better to let him carry on by himself and see if he can write another couple of good sort of something that moves a little bit. Can he write a Roman gladiator thing? Who knows? It's a spec script. It might take a couple of years. You don't want him kind of sitting on your books for a couple of years waiting to see if anything happens. That's the harshness of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, a misconception about agents is that they do it just for the money. And it's not. They need to believe in you as a writer, in your work.
That's true. That is true. But that's true almost of anyone that's successful in any form of
They've got to believe.
Because you've got to believe what you're doing to put any effort into it, really.
Yeah.
So
they got to believe in the talent. I think in terms of approach, too many agents get a spray of submissions from, say, graduates or new writers, which don't say anything or don't mean anything. And it's like, if you're very specific about why you're approaching this particular agent, it's like you really dig the agency, you really, all the clients you really admire, you'd really love to be, you know, in their stable, as it were. Plus, you've got a burning passion to write for Holby, otherwise you will die.
Can I just give...
And you've got a good spec to back it up.
I'll just give people a structure that I'd use, right? So they can copy this straight away, right? And actually, if they can't fill in these three things, then they shouldn't write. I just do a simple past, present, future.
Right.
Right? What's your success in the past? What's just happened in the recent past that makes you...
Stand out
newsworthy?
A bit. Yeah, newsworthy.
Right? What's your present, right? So why are you presently writing to that agent specifically, as you said? Future, what is your goals for the future? So what can they do with you what can you guys do together to try and crack some new opportunities out there? So you know, I've just written a hot new Arthurian story. I'm writing to you because you represent the writer that did the last whatever. However, in the future, I'm thinking of moving into sci-fi because I read in Screen International that there's, you know, a big need for that coming up in the next few years. Mm. Would you want to know more?
Yeah.
Now, if all those things are true, I think that's a good, you know, a good shout. Now, I'll give you a personal tragedy story, which I'm now becoming seems quite famous for on here. Right? So, back in the day, when... The script that I did with Stephen Daldry that was BAFTA nominated. So I had a couple of meetings with agents after that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had my past and present, but I didn't have any future.
Right.
So those things didn't work out. Mm. Those meetings, they didn't really move into anything. Because although we talked about the things that had just happened, and they'd introduced me, working title had introduced me to these to a couple of agents. I didn't really have any future to talk about. I hadn't thought about what we could do together. I was still of that impression of the people you painted at the start of the question, which was, oh, they'd just get me some work. Do you know what I mean? I hadn't thought about this is what we could do together. I'm thinking of taking this short and writing it as a feature next. Do you know what? Even if I'd have just said that almost, I think it would have worked out better.
I know what you mean.
I didn't have that. So I think it's sort of tinged, if you like, with my own kind of where it hasn't worked.
Mm.
So I'm short trying to share those lessons that I've learned on this, really.
Yeah. Also, when you do contact agents, I think it's okay to contact more than one at the same time, because you'll get various kind of delayed replies and whatever. I think if you do get any replies or if you do get to meet them, it's best to be honest with them. Do not try clever. No, do not try to say kind of industry phrases that you think are cool or how things operate.
Just
be yourself.
Yeah.
Even if they say, have you approached anybody else, to say, yes, I have. Do not, because, you know, the industry is very small here. They'll know.
Yeah.
And if you start lying to them or saying stupid things, it will just reflect badly on you. So just be yourself. Have the humility of a new writer, but have the confidence and passion of what you're about as well, so that they can see from the colour of your eyes you're not a loon, actually somebody decent they could work with.
And last, which I kind of, I guess, sounds a little bit more self-justifying than I mean it to, but I do mean it sincerely to the writers out there, that if obviously if you do all that and you don't get any positive response, if you've really understood what we've said, then you won't be taking that as a personal slight on your writing. You'll be understanding that it's actually about your writing meeting the market. Mm. And there might, although your writing might be good, it just might not be what is needed right now, which is, of course, almost the agents are the gateway into what is needed right now.
Yeah.
And it might be that you're not kind of the time's not right for you.
Well, this is it. In general.
So don't let it be a downer on you.
Not at all.
Or a thing to stop you writing. That's definitely what that is. The exact opposite in a way. You know, it should be an impetus to explore some new different types of writing, to keep going, to try and make more good news for yourself, and to lift your own market value in whatever way that you can, for your reputation, for your good work, and for being visible.
Yeah. So, yeah, in general, to recap, it's probably too soon to be looking for an agent. You're probably not ready, but all the things that you should be writing or doing should help you to get to that point when you're ready to be of agent interest. Also, for writers that are out there who are working regularly but don't have an agent and think, well, I'll keep that 10% for myself, I seem to be doing okay, you really do need an agent. Because if you've got broadcast credits or you're making low-budget features that are getting good notices or whatever, then an agent will help you broaden your opportunities, and it will also improve your contracts and look out for your best interests. I know there's a few out there. There's one in particular I'm thinking of. So if you're listening, it is you I'm talking about. You need an agent.
Oh, this has suddenly got all a little bit...
But generally, most of you don't bother.
That's horrendous advice. That's horrendous advice.
And that's how we wrap up this show.
That's a horrendous way to end.
No, I just mean it's probably too soon. Probably not ready. Concentrate on your work.
Concentrate on your work. And if you like, just get out there and be approaching those people directly. Do you know what I mean? So the effort that you're putting into agents, are you better off trying to get in touch with directors, producers and so on, yourself, and just saying, you know, I'm a fresh writer, keen, I specialise in this, that and the other, I know that you do too, how about meeting up just to see if there's you know, any sort of chemistry between our work. You know, you don't need, there's not two letterboxes.
No.
One that where letters from an agent come through in a producer's office, and one where schmucks come through.
Mm.
I mean, it's the same bloody postbox. So, you know, you can approach anyone yourself. You can approach just go for it.
Exactly. And if you manage to, say, get a commission independent of an agent, like getting an episode of Doctors, which is quite common in terms of you can get an episode of Doctors without an agent whatsoever. You could approach an agent then and say, look, I've just been commissioned. Yeah. I need help with the contract. Or would you, even just for this occasion, would you help me?
And or use the Writers Guild for such things.
Writers Guild.
Because they've got a thing, haven't they? Same service.
So there's no set way of doing anything. No. It's all down to yourself, generally. And it's a big, exciting world.
All right.
Well, let's wrap it up.
Time's up there. But I hope that kind of as you see, myself and Danny, we've got a kind of a shared understanding, but we've approached things in a different way, and we don't have a clear cut advice for you particularly, but you can hope that we've sort of painted the picture of the situation for you so that you can make your own decision and be a bit emotionally stronger about any rejections that you're getting. That's what we really wanted to sort of put some myths at rest more than anything else.
Any follow-up questions or anything, just email us at
We might go around again. Well, any stories that you've had,
yeah.
I think, as well, your experiences, that might be very helpful, actually. If you've had some good experiences or bad experiences, or you've got a story like I had to share about what's happened to you, that'd be great to hear those.
Okay. Well, again, thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing, sharing, whatever you've done to promote the podcast on our behalf. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And have a great bank holiday weekend if you're listening to it as it's been uploaded.
Yeah.
And we will see you next month.
All right. Good to see you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cheers, Anna. See you in a month. Yeah. We're both so busy.
Try and decode Tim's Cockney gangster line of dialogue.
Yeah.
Which was frightening for all involved, I'm sure.
And that's it.
We'll see you next month.
Bye! See ya.